We Talk Wrestling with Addie and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addie.
Hey, yo, I'm not.
No, you are not. And are you, hey, we're looking skinny today.
Oh, really?
That's right. It's time for our New Year's, or no, our April Fool's show. All right, fuck that up.
Well, first off, since we're at the quarter mark of the year, I know that you have a State of the Union address on the podcast. And what's been going on, what's going to happen in the future. You're going to address the most important issues, or issue, whatever it is.
Well,
I don't know what you're going to talk about, but I understand you're going to address the most important issue in the We Talk Wrestling universe. The floor is yours, my friend.
It is, because I own this house. Yes, we are now officially 3 months in. The first quarter of the year is now in the books, as it were, and I would just like to give everyone an update on my New Year's resolution.
Oh, yeah. How's that going?
My New Year's resolution, for anybody just joining us, is to not be an asshole. And I'd just like to say, now that we are one quarter of the year in, complete success.
Really?
Absolute, unbelievable success. And again, I do want to thank all the people for the cards and letters.
So, this is good.
It was tough. It was tough. About week one, I was really difficult to do.
But it gets easier as you go on, though, right?
Well, it's not your mom. It's a New Year's resolution.
Easier as you go on. All right, so for the New Year's show this year, of course, in the past, the last two times we've done this previously, we've done a April Fool's show, not a New Year's show.
No.
April Fool's show.
You fucked that up.
What we did was we talked about some of the shittiest angles and gimmicks and everything like that in history. This year, we're going to try something different. This year, we're going to be talking about some of the best ribs ever played on anybody. But that's going to be our main event. We're going to close with that. We'll open up with, of course, Raw and
well, it's very exciting that we're talking April Fools here, because and in previous years, like you said, we talked about some of the shitty angles, shitty gimmicks here. What we're actually talking about today, before we get to the ribs, is the shittiest build to a WrestleMania in quite some time.
Yeah, this is. You want me to do it all in 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. CM Punk and The Undertaker.
Yeah.
The entire angle should be CM Punk is desperate to win because he's lost his chance to call himself the best in the world.
It should be
CM Punk is desperate. He's hurting people. He's attacking people from behind. He needs this worse than The Undertaker. They should be selling that idea.
Yeah.
So when we believe that they get to the match, we're thinking to ourselves, CM Punk is going to win or needs to win. He needs it worse than The Undertaker. This is his one chance at to do this, and he needs it even worse than Undertaker, worse than Triple H, worse than Shawn Michaels did. That should be the psychology of the match. Instead, hey, he's kind of a dick, and you know what? He's facing The Undertaker, and he says he's going to beat him.
Yeah.
It sucks.
It's the only thing that I like about it is the thing that he mentioned about the disqualification or the count-out.
Well, it might get some heat in the moment, but
I just liked that the mentioning of that moment to it. But I mean, the whole build is.
But the psychology of what Punk needs and why he needs to win this.
Oh,
is
yeah.
There.
Well, from the beginning of you want a 4-way to get into it, and it is it was.
And he says he's going to win, and who cares? This should be the most desperate CM Punk ever.
Yeah.
This should be the most desperate CM Punk ever heading into this match, and that should be this. Completely immoral.
Mm-hmm.
He should be like what Edge was when Edge was facing the Undertaker.
Yes,
that should be what it is.
Instead, he's Mr. Hughes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Literally.
Yeah.
Stole the urn.
Wow. Yeah.
You know. And Punk doesn't. I mean, you can tell he thinks it's just as retarded as we do.
Well, I don't understand. I mean, I know he's having difficulties with WWE creative, but I mean, historically, two things he's had some say in his promos and his booking over the last little while. Plus, Undertaker kind of laid down the storyline for who he wanted to face months ago, so he's had to say, and he continues to have to say.
I
don't understand where this is all coming from, but
I think
it's
part of it is, I think part of it is burnout. Of it is that he's hurt.
Yeah.
You know, he was hurt in terms of in December for the TLC.
Yeah.
You know,
and then he wrestles Ryback. So that's
something. And he wrestles Ryback. He wrestles Rock twice, and you know, he still keeps going.
Yeah,
so,
but Ryback's the one that'll hurt you.
Well, yeah, but he keeps going, and that's kind of the thing is, and so there's her, there's burnout. There's you know, there's this is the Undertaker. You know, so who's going to get their way here? I mean, there's an element of you know, of picking your battles, so to speak. Is you know, it's just a matter of fight facing Undertaker at WrestleMania might be good enough. You know, I should say good enough for him, but I mean enough to placate him. And again, if he's going to be off, like what we're hearing in after Mania, and not booked currently for anything to do in May, so you know, he's a hurting unit, and I think it's just a matter of with one more Raw to go to, and really he only had about you know what three Raws, four Raws of this, and now that we go through, I think it's just. You know, I think he's in the mindset, or I get the feeling he's in the mindset of, okay, let's just get this fucking thing over with. And
which is weird to me, because it's technically, in some ways, this is bigger than what he did with the Rock, or should be if it's built in the right way.
But in some, but it's not, and you could see that, and we heard after week one how pissed he was with creative.
Yeah.
And there's a burnout factor. There's a factor of just, hey, okay, you know what, fuck you, it's not worth it. I'm just going to get healed up, and I got my money, and fuck you.
Yeah, so you got one guy who's beat up and at 50%, another guy who's beat up and at 20%.
Yeah.
And that's the guy who took a year off.
And I'm telling you, the best worker in this match is going to be Paul Bearer.
It could be. And yet, it'll get good heat the night of. Now, moving on, Triple H, Brock Lesnar. Triple H cut a good promo.
Yeah.
He's going to kick his ass, and he came across very intense about Brock.
Uh-huh.
He didn't bury Brock in this promo.
No,
like that.
The
problem I have is the psychology of this whole thing of you're going to retire. Like I say, I don't think that's adding to the match.
No.
If he has just addresses it to the idea of after everything I've done, all the bones I've broken, all the blood I've spilled, all the sweat I've lost, everything I've given to this industry, the one thing I have left is to go out on my terms, and you're going to take that away from me? Fuck you. I'm not going to let you. That's the psychology that needs to be presented here.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's being presented properly.
It's not. And then the thing is, and I'm just watching SmackDown, and they just did a video recap package of it, and it was, the whole thing isn't about his retirement. It's about how last time he was there after losing to Rock at SummerSlam, he left thinking he was gone, and then they actually showed some footage of his, with the new haircut of him, like in like a Brock like gym doing the with the big tire and shit like that, doing some. And I thought, oh great, we're gonna get that, and we still might on the go home, but
which I don't mind, but it's just that if you're gonna put in that stipulation, and if especially everybody's going, oh, and the reason people didn't react was because people went, oh, so you mean you're going to retire? Don't you already wrestle once or twice a year?
Well, aren't
you already retired?
Yeah, the whole point he said in the promo that I left, and then you beat up an old man, and then I got a reason to come back.
Yeah.
Right? And now it's like you're going to retire. So, well, who cares?
No, but that's exactly it. He needs to make us care, and he needs to do that by saying, you're going to take away from me. I want to go out on my own terms. Shawn got to go out on his own terms. Foley got to go out on his own terms. You're going to take that away from me? Fuck you. I don't have much left. But one thing I do have left is going out on my terms. You don't take that from me. That's what we need to get, and we're not getting it. Because, you know. So, anyways, that's that match. And John Cena versus The Rock. I think it's possible John Cena will be even a bigger heel and get an even bigger heel reaction this year at WrestleMania than he did last year in Miami, which is pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
And I don't really have much else to say about that. The Rock's entertaining, and John Cena is really a heel.
The Rock is entertaining. He was on Jimmy Kimmel with the belt. He was on Jay Leno without that. But again, these are all booked through G.I. Joe and for G.I. Joe. I thought the I thought The Rock on SmackDown, again, was the Rock that I liked, the entertaining Rock, the guy, you know, and I've noticed this about The Rock now, too, is that Rock has always had that locker room humor, you know, making fun of the guy.
Yeah.
And they've done that, and he owned Cena doing that.
Yeah.
And so they wanted to change this up this year. So Rock's coming out and making fun of himself now.
Yeah.
You know, he brought the picture he had on Leno with the in the white shorts with the world's largest boombox, just making fun of himself and talking about living in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, near Hershey, Pennsylvania, and you know how he wanted to find a Hershey whatchamacallit, and he went all over the city looking for a Hershey whatchamacallit, and they couldn't find it, and they couldn't do it, and you know, and then he reached for it, and just as he reached for it, somebody else did too, and he looked at that person, and he said, "If you don't take your hands off that candy, I'm going to kick your candy ass," and that's where candy ass was born, was in Hershey, Pennsylvania, or whatever, and he goes, "And that old woman, she took her hand right off it." And I laughed.
Yeah, you know, he's very funny. I remember reading a book published in 1981 where somebody used the term candy ass. So, but anyways.
No, but that's where he came up with it.
That's where he came up with it, or that book.
Yeah. Well, and for him. I mean, you think Rock read a book?
Good point.
You see? Driving around Hershey, Pennsylvania looking for beer. The thing was, is that...
kind of similar to when we were in Arizona, walking around looking for Circle K.
That's right, yeah. And I don't read books either.
Nope.
Nope. But I think that I just have no interest in this match. That's what it boils down to me. We knew the plan in July. We liked the plan. The plan made logical sense, and I was very excited.
It lost momentum.
And, yeah, it's just...
Since the night after Royal Rumble, it had... Actually, not the second show after Royal Rumble. It peaked.
I think this is a situation where, again, the chamber kind of gets in the way.
Yeah, I think there's something...
You know, I don't know. I just...
Actually, you're right. It was the first show after the Chamber.
Mm-hmm. Ever since then, it's
second
been...
show after the Chamber. When was it that CM Punk and John Cena had that great match? That was the first week.
That was 2 weeks after the Chamber, I think.
So
yeah.
It was the week after that when they had their first in ring.
8 days after the Chamber, let's say.
Yeah,
yes.
That's where it peaked. Now, CM Punk had that great match, and he was already beat up there. I have to say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. But maybe he got injured on the pile driver.
It peaked there, and it, you know, they have the go home show. I expect I think the go home show will do a good job of
the Joe home go.
The Joe home go. The go home show will do a fairly good job. At the end of the day, it doesn't even matter because people are going to order. So many casual fans are going to order because they're going to go with WrestleMania and a Cena and The Rock. Ah, they are. Trust me. I know people in my work environment that never watch wrestling who are going, "Oh, what's that? Rock's there, and he's defending against this guy, and I heard of this guy, sort of." And there's enough of that out there that it's gonna do well. Plus, it's in New York. That will help.
Yeah, that will help.
So, I mean, it's going to be big. I think it'll be slightly bigger than last year. I still don't think it'll beat Trump as the biggest, but it'll be slightly bigger than last year. But it should have beat Trump, is the thing.
Well, and you've got all these, should have been the highest. And, I mean, in business-wise, we talk about is going up. I don't know what we talked about the Elimination Chamber. It did 222,000 buys,
mm-hmm.
162 domestic,
mm-hmm.
and 50,000 internationally. And I don't know what it did to you. I don't know if that's up, down, or whatnot. But
mm-hmm.
that's their buy rate. So they're going in on that. I mean, that sounds like a pretty good number for a B show, right?
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. I've got, what's the next match that we're talking about?
That's it. That's the only ones that matter, right?
That is the only ones that matter. The Miz and Wade Barrett has been added.
Doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. Ryback, of course, and Mark Henry, the Irresistible Force, the Immovable Object match.
It doesn't matter.
That doesn't matter. No,
The Shield, because Shield is being booked so well, the crowd was still into the Shield. On Monday, they weren't really into anything else. So when the Shield is escaping through the crowd, that match will have good heat. I think it was last week you said it's probably the best booked match.
Yeah.
And it probably continues to be.
I think the end of SmackDown with Randy Orton, Sheamus, the Big Show, all running the Shield off through the crowd.
And the
three of them standing in the crowd of the spotlight, the three baby faces standing mm-hmm. in the spotlight was a really good way, and the crowd mm-hmm. going nuts was a good way to end the show.
Again, that is good heat.
Yeah, that one does. And it's really that one, like, that should be what The Undertaker and Punk is in terms of interest level in booking and crowd reaction and such, mm-hmm. but it isn't. But that's the best secondary level, I guess, if you're going to call it that. I mean, then you go to fucking Jack Swagger and Alberto Del Rio, and I ask just the one question, who gives a shit?
I don't, and I was really hot into this angle at first.
Yeah, like it died. Like
it died. Would,
yeah, it did.
Because they didn't have the guts to embrace what it could have been.
Yeah, it's just...
Plus, it's partially the it's partially, it's, if they didn't have the guts to embrace what it could have been, it's the people and their lack of, I guess, charisma. Partially, it's the booking in general of the baby faces, including at Del Rio.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of factors. It's Swagger being pushed too hard too quick.
I think it has a lot to do with, you know, when
he needed to be established as a threat for much longer.
But you know when they stop talking,
yeah.
When they stop cutting the promos like really hard
mm-hmm.
on it, you know what that kind of coincided with?
The angle dying.
Well, yes, but with
the crowd chanting USA.
Well, no, but they stopped even having Coulter go out and cut these promos really hard. Coincidentally, about the same time where an announcement was made to induct Donald Trump into the Hall of Fame, a man that thinks like this and has said things like this in seriousness, and then you're looking to spoof it, I could very well see the Donald going, what is this guy doing?
Donald Trump doesn't watch this fucking show, though.
He wants to know what he's getting involved in, yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, he wouldn't have known before, but I could have seen someone whispering in his ear to say, you know, we hear a little bit about this, what's this Glenn Beck thing,
yeah.
You know, something like that. But
I still like
Swagger's look.
Sure.
Like I just saw him on SmackDown again, where he has the We the People kind of that yellowy
mm-hmm.
shirt or whatever, a green yellow shirt. He's got the beard. I like his look. I think character wise, it's a good transformation.
Yes,
more
and if they had built this, if they had built this character up for months,
yeah, oh yeah,
if he had beat first Sin Cara, then he beat Kofi Kingston, then he,
we talked about it,
you know,
he come out, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, all that happened was he come out, he showed up, he said he wanted to be in the chamber,
yeah,
by himself,
yeah, and I think the week before he beat, I can't remember who it was beat somebody who would be considered fairly high in the card.
But that was to get into the chamber.
No, even before that. Like
I don't think his return.
His return
was
his return actually saying,
I want
to be in
chamber,
you, right?
Yeah.
It was, wasn't it?
And then
same night he beat somebody.
Yes, yeah, that night.
Yeah.
And then Coulter shows up, like, next week on Raw with
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
And then it was just kind of, I don't know. But...
Yeah, I believe the chamber was actually his second appearance with Coulter.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. But... So too much too soon. I mean, again, for an opening match of Mania, who knows?
Again, I expect pretty much every match will have a good reaction at WrestleMania, including that match.
Yeah.
It'll probably be a 50-50 split, but
yeah.
It'll have a good reaction.
It's the Ziggler factor.
Yeah.
Right. So does he or doesn't he?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, then you've got that. And I mean, you can talk about Ziggler. It's Hell No against Ziggler and Big E, right?
Yeah, what was Ziggler's match last year at WrestleMania?
Did he have one?
I'm sure he did. I'm sure. Was he part of Team?
Oh yeah, he probably was on Team Johnny or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I know Drew McIntyre was on Team Johnny, and now this year he's 3MB.
And
yeah.
Miz.
And
yeah.
Miz, yeah, obviously.
Zack Ryder was on Team Teddy.
Yeah.
You know, Booker T was on Team Teddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another thing that we talked about last week when they made the Ryback announcement change. Teddy and Booker did have an argument about that on SmackDown, and they still, with the Ryback deal, on the bench press challenge,
mm-hmm.
You could see the tension again with.
Yeah, but it still doesn't make any sense from if they have a disagreement, it could be just I'm the general manager, I'm just going to override you.
Yeah.
Just from a psychology point of view.
No, I understand that, but I was just saying that
at least there's something there.
They're teasing
yeah.
something there, and I
yeah.
don't know quite what, but or if it'll go anywhere or not. But
It probably will. I mean, it should be, you know, this longtime general manager is now an assistant to this guy, and he thinks he's more confident.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's fine. If it's a SmackDown on the storyline, I guess I can work with it. But
Yeah, that's
down the road, that's fine. So we can have Team Teddy versus Team Booker.
Bookie.
Booker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Johnny, he was there on SmackDown getting people's elbow.
Yeah.
But
wasn't that off air?
No, no, that opened the show.
Was it?
Yeah, it was.
I didn't see SmackDown this week, so
part of the Rock's promo.
As you can tell, so that's all right.
But I had I'm trying to think of what else there was. Well, we could talk about Ryback and Mark Henry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the battle was a behemoth. There on.
There's nothing to talk about. I'm done talking WrestleMania.
Hmm?
We got the go home show. Next week will be our next week's show, which we hope to be able to do on the Thursday. It will be the WrestleMania preview show, obviously. Until then, that's when we'll get into it heavily. Until then, I got nothing left to say on WrestleMania personally.
No, I'm just trying to think of if there's any other.
I don't know. There might be the tons of funk versus and two whores against two other whores and two other jobbers.
Yes, there is that match.
Yeah. It might happen.
No, I think that's
Cesaro might defend against somebody.
I don't know if that pre-show or...
You're right. It is an hour pre-show, right? So.
Yeah. I think the tons of funk.
Sucks.
I don't know.
It's better than Dancing Bear, because Dancing Bear is a porn site name.
It's a name. That's all I care about.
Dancing
Bear
is a porn site name.
I'll go back to one of the things. I'll go back to a backstage interview that Greg DeGeorge was conducting, and the two competitors said, you know what? That we're gonna strike them with a lot of force. I got Tito. I like that. The Strike Force, and that's how fucking Strike Force was named.
Sure.
So it's just they got a fucking name now.
Yeah,
good
I don't
for them.
Know.
It's not like it's an angle.
Sweet Tea is actually on WrestleMania. I never would have thought that when we were at WrestleMania, Royal Rumble. So I mean,
that's right.
He just a little while, just 2 months, 2.5 months ago. I mean, there's no way I would have thought this guy's gonna be at WrestleMania.
It won't be at WrestleMania. Jack Doan. Jack Doan has been canned. He's probably their longest tenured referee there. So it's actually quite surprising.
Serves him right because his son Ken is such a douche.
Yes, that's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
There. See.
All right. What else you got? Let's move on here. Any other?
We didn't
stories?
Really talk about Booker T going into the Hall of Fame. We started to, and then we said we were going to talk about it later, and then we never did.
Okay. Booker T is going into the Hall of Fame.
Okay. I'm trying to think of if there's anything else that we need to say. What are your thoughts about Booker T going into the Hall of Fame?
Booker T is going to go into the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
He had a Hall of Fame WWE, WCW career.
I think he did.
And his story. Like, there's not much to say. He's one of those guys who I would have thought they would have held on to down the road. But, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. I got nothing problem with it.
No.
It is a hell of a class this year. I'll say that.
This is, yeah, that is a hell of a class.
Who's putting him in? Who's inducting him? Is it Teddy?
Don't know yet. We do know who's inducting, as we speculated.
On him?
Bob Backlund.
I own you.
Well, that's Bruno Sammartino. Arnold is going to be, but announced to induct Bob Backlund is, of course, show favorite Maria Menounos.
Maria Menounos?
Maria Menounos.
And then
And then we're going to induct Mick Foley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Terry Funk's going to induct Mick Foley.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. Still waiting on the word that Lita to induct Trish Stratus officially.
Or Bret Hart. Yeah,
or Bret Hart because they're Canadian. Yeah, could be. Or Billy Red Lion.
You know what's funny? Because Bret Hart, he's been calling me. I don't know if you noticed it over there.
Is that who that was?
Yeah, it was. But I was like, we're on the air. For
well,
sure.
We're having to get him on the Expo.
I mean, it is.
Whatever,
I mean, it's April Fool's Day, so it seems odd to have Bret Hart on it. Because I guess he is a bit of a river on times. But for April Fool's Day, should we have Bret Hart on?
Yeah, we can have Bret Hart on after. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Well, you got your phone there, so we'll just call him back. We'll call him back when we're ready.
Yeah, sounds good.
But, that'll be good. I'm just trying to think of... Right, a lot of people kind of, in terms of business...
He's actually been calling me every show that we've ever done. This will be just the first time I ever answered.
Oh, you've actually answered, okay.
Yeah.
What did I write here?
Oh, I'm a big fan of his, though.
Are you?
Yeah.
The biggest. But WWE has partnered with the Special Olympics.
Hmm.
Any thoughts on that?
WWE has partnered with a lot of John Cena fans.
That's what I wrote under here. Cena is retarded. That's what I wrote underneath here. But,
all right.
P. Diddy.
P. Diddy.
Puff Daddy.
Yeah. Has he had a hit in ever?
Yeah, sure.
When was the last time he had a hit song?
Probably the one they're using now for WrestleMania.
Yeah, is that a hit? I guess.
Yeah,
probably.
That's a hit. And then he had the one for Biggie there.
But you're saying there's no celebrity, so now they got their celebrity. They got P. Diddy.
P. Diddy and Arnold and Maria Menounos.
But I don't know if they'll actually be at WrestleMania. Well, Menounos will.
Yeah.
I don't know if Arnold will actually be there that night.
I don't know.
Arnold.
So I'm assuming that...
if he's there, do you think he'll try and fuck Maria Menounos? I mean, she is a Spanish.
And her name is Maria.
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
Yeah, she is a little attractive for him, though.
That's true. That's true. Mr. Superman, no home. I'm trying to think. There's probably a P. Diddy concert, apparently, is what's going to happen. He's going to do some...
Probably be right before the main event or something. Or maybe tons of Funko dance to it.
That's right.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah. He'll have a bunch of hot chicks, including the two... dancing horse, and then they'll come out too.
Yes. This is true. Let's see, what else did I want to talk about?
I really shouldn't call Naomi and what's their other name?
Cameron.
Why am I calling them whores? They seem like nice women.
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
Unless you want to drive with one of them.
Yes. Well, you know, get some banking advice. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. Wells Fargo.
Yeah, Wells Fargo. What else do I have on here? I wanted to let you know. Matt Hardy is engaged.
So what else you got?
I also wanted to let you know when I was watching Raw, mm-hmm. and actually I just watched the other day, I watched some of WrestleMania 20
mm-hmm.
again. I just in John Cena. But the whole build-up for WrestleMania 20 was that Chris Benoit could not win the big one.
Hmm.
So then on Raw, John Cena, turns out he could not win the big one.
Hmm.
I thought,
He's only a 10-time world champion.
Oh, like, yeah.
He cannot win the fucking big one.
No.
I tell you, it's just brutal.
Well, I mean, to be honest, though, I've never put my penis as a prize before.
Hmm.
So it has physically been impossible for him to win the big one. But...
And this time he'll win the big one, too.
And also, after watching WrestleMania 20, I want to see Austin versus Lesnar.
I can see that.
Yeah. But Austin not going to be at Mania now at all in any capacity.
Didn't think he was.
No, I didn't think so either, but you never know in terms of Hall of Fame or anything. Yeah. I don't know who he would have inducted, but, you know, just never know. But he's come out and said he's not going to be.
Who's going to induct Maria Menounos when the time comes?
Bret Hart.
I think so.
Yeah.
Or Arnold.
Or Lita. Impact.
Yeah.
Did you watch Impact?
Nope.
I thought it was another great show.
Yeah.
Starting
next week, now that I've got fully much more of my move done, I'll be able to get back into the groove and really start to watch all the stuff.
Now that you have TV again.
Yeah, real TV again and real, you know, 3D TV, motherfucker.
Yeah, that's... Actually, I'd like to see Taryn Terrell.
In 3D?
In 3D.
Mm-hmm.
In her new gear.
Oh, is it nice?
I like it.
what do you think AJ will look like in 3D? Not AJ Styles, AJ.
Oh.
AJ Lee.
Two-dimensional.
Still. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yes. I'm going to hold up this bottle opener. And think it's going to have more 3D effect than AJ Lee.
Why don't you hold up that piece of paper? It'd be even
from
the side. Yeah.
Well, she's not Kate Moss.
Skinnier.
Yeah. Chavo and Hernandez, I thought, did a really good job on Impact.
Really?
Yeah. This was a
really good job?
They won. But no, they did. I enjoyed their performance, both on the mic, actually. Chavo, I thought, got a pretty good kind of fiery promo.
How many times did he mention Eddie and his family?
Never, not once.
What a coincidence that it's a better promo when he's not doing that.
He did say essays, but...
Well, he does have some Mexican in him.
I just thought he was encouraging people to write, but...
not as much as Maria Menounos.
No.
That's Austrian.
Hmm? Well, they're all the same, aren't they? But in fact, it was good. Hogan continues to do a really great job with Sting. I really enjoyed it.
I went back and I watched that promo he did with Sting. I probably watched three or four times.
In his office or in the ring?
The one in the office.
Okay,
and,
yeah.
You know, so what happened this week in the promo with Sting?
Well, it's more the same. Yeah. It really was more of the same.
Did he actually say, "You make me sick again"?
It was something similar to that.
I don't know where this is going, because we can't have a match between the two of them.
Yeah, I know. But I understand.
Sting's not turning. I don't think Hogan's turning.
No, I understand.
But it's just good, though. Yeah, yeah. It's logical.
What it was with the because it was open fight night.
Yeah.
So the Mexicans open fight nighted.
Rude and
Bad Influence. And the winners were going to be the number one contenders.
Okay.
And so the Mexicans won. So that in 2 weeks in Corpus, or 3 weeks, or whatever, Corpus Christi, Texas, on the 10th, that's when both Jeff Hardy gets his rematch, and they're going to have this this title, tag title.
This is kind of that, and it's weird because when you hear that, I mean, they're building up for a big event, so that's fine.
Yeah.
But it is weird because it's like, oh yeah, I forgot. They don't have pay-per-views to build to.
No, exactly. It makes sense. Champions kind of deal.
But I do wonder, it's like, should you space these out, or should you put these all in the same show?
They kind of are. Well, you know what, but I think they're trying to do pop a number and do like a Clash type deal.
Yeah.
And they're going to do it in April, and then, because the pay-per-view is until June.
Yeah.
In Boston.
They have a shitload of time to
prep. So yeah, and it's going to be a TLC, they call the Full Metal Mayhem match, the Jeff Hardy and Bully Ray.
Yes.
Is,
table, ladders, chairs, and tables. Or
stairs.
And stairs, that's it. Yeah.
Well, it's basically, yeah, anything goes, basically. But they did that. I'm trying to think of what else I liked on... I just thought, again, the crowd, great.
Yeah.
You know, another major league field.
Was it still in the same arena? Was it still
No, they did two Chicago. Now this was in Jonesboro,
and they had a
Arkansas.
Good crowd again.
They had another good crowd.
It's good that if they're drawing, that's fine.
Yeah.
They still look like a Nitro, which is a good thing.
Yeah, no, it did. It looked... Oh. More major league again. Yeah, I was impressed again. So,
and now the rating though about the same as what they've been doing.
So. Rating about the same, but again they're making ticket sales and you know they should be making.
Are those ticket sales enough for the cost of the expenses going on the road?
Don't
we don't know.
But,
and how many ticket sales and how many are comped? I mean we don't know that either.
No.
But it is good. It's going to take a while of looking major league beyond the road for people to see them that way and for the ratings to turn around. They have to continue. They need momentum for 12 to 18 months. Build enough momentum to really make that company run.
Yeah.
To make that company get up to a 1.8, 2.0 rating.
And
this would be enough.
The reason I'm bullish on them is, again, because we're going to get into Bound for Glory series season coming up, too. AJ continued to be Sting this time. Not in the Raptors.
Is he attacking? No, he's not in the Raptors. Are they attacking both baby faces and heels?
Well,
that's what he did before.
Did, but he was in the crowd. Like on the steps, just kind of standing up in the crowd, wearing like a you know a hat and a black hoodie and
you know a little bit of beard, the messed up hair, the hoodie, whatever. For once, he doesn't look like a 14-year-old kid.
Well, and the nice thing of what they're doing with it, I don't know if it's purposeful. I think I would hope it is, and it's very subtle when we talk about him being like Sting. When Sting went to Crow Sting, you know, again, it was in the black and white. And up in the Raptors, like the NWO black and white.
Yeah.
Very mirror some of it. AJ's new thing, the first thing he does is he hops on his motorcycle and he drives away, right?
Mm-hmm.
Aces and Eights, the motorcycle gang, right? So it's got that mirroring, again, that I like. But it's, you know, it doesn't sound like much of a show this coming week. I mean, I didn't really, I just kind of read through the spoilers, but we'll see, I guess. But, like I said, another win for Impact. Again, X Division, 230-pound weight limit, and every match is going to be a three-way in the X Division. They brought back some guys.
So the 215-pound weight limit that they put on about 1 year ago, I think it was 1 year ago, that they made such a big deal of, no longer in effect. Okay, that they only kept around for a couple months before they put Samoa Joe in a match.
Yeah, exactly, before they... Totally debunked it, but
well, it's not about weight limits.
It's about no limits.
Fucking right.
Three-way dance though, and we've got let's say Sanjay Dutt is back into it, and he's having a three-way. And I'm trying to remember who his two opponents were. They're both returning X Division guys.
Mm-hmm.
One of which though is Petey Williams,
mm-hmm.
who wins with the Canadian Destroyer.
Which is how did he look physically?
Jack.
He looked like the Maple Leaf muffle gimmick still?
Yeah, not quite as defined, I guess.
Was he still that nickname? The Maple Leaf muscle?
No, he's a PD.
See, when he was doing that, I really liked that. When they became Little Scott Steiner,
yeah,
I didn't like that.
So he didn't look like Little Scott Steiner.
Yeah.
Like with the face, because he looked exactly like Little Scott Steiner. But no, they would just call him Petey Williams. So, and I'm trying to remember who the other fellow was in the three-way. It was another returning guy.
Was it Alex Shelley?
No.
Was it Chris Sabin?
No.
I don't care.
Yeah. Also, Gut Check turns next week. A Mexican guy is fighting Adam Pearce.
Yes, I heard that, yeah.
So, that's interesting.
Adam Pearce, Ring of Honor veteran, ROH, more than veteran, actually. It's probably
Booker
at one point, yeah.
Yeah, he's the guy that they put in for Sapolsky.
Mm-hmm.
So, former NWA champion.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Scrap Iron Adam Pearce? Was that his...
I think so, yeah. That sounds familiar.
Yeah. So, hopefully, again, it's new blood. It's a recognized name to wrestling fans, at least, in terms
mm-hmm.
of the hardcore fans. So, I don't know who the other guy was. He was a Mexican guy under a mask, so we'll see. But, I found that interesting, when they said Adam Pearce. Like, oh, shit, I heard of that guy. So... That'll be good. But no, I was really enjoying total nonstop action.
All right.
I'm just trying to think. We talked about Punk.
You mean Impact Wrestling?
Yeah, that too. What else do we want to talk about? Wade Barrett, I just thought I'd note for you personally. I don't know if anybody else cares. But on SmackDown, Wade Barrett, back to having the Rose.
Ah, I like that gimmick.
Thing. So
good.
I put the jacket on and
good.
Push that off when he left. So,
yeah.
He's calling the WWE and wants to come back.
Who?
Our friend Kenny Wayne Shamrock.
Oh, fuck off!
they have politely declined.
No shit.
But
if TNA in a match with Angle just once.
Maybe. Why not? Two broken down old codgers.
He doesn't have... I mean, they don't have any sort of testing. I mean, the thing is about Shamrock is...
Yeah.
You know, I mean...
He'll never make it past the screen.
Wellness, no. Or just... Even forget wellness. Even just...
life?
Well, no, yeah, but they do... I mean, McGinnis when he got there, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, just the injuries. I mean, they're not going to take on somebody like that, whereas TNA will. But you only do it once. But if you do one match... Maybe you can build to a best of three, but really smartly, you do one match on pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's true. That would be,
It's fine.
That's fine. I did like, we haven't talked...
And if he does well enough, then you can have a do something else, but just book him for one match on pay-per-view against Angle. And
any thoughts on seeing Fandango fuck yourself and after him actually being in the ring?
No.
No? Okay. I did enjoy on SmackDown, JBL called him a combination, a hybrid of Baryshnikov and Ken Shamrock. Cole could not continue.
I don't understand this angle at all if you aren't going to reference the Dance with the Stars and build that angle up from Jericho.
No, I know, and then there's
so,
fucking
I
one
don't,
week.
And you got Fandango.
Fuck yourself.
Yeah. What would happen? What would you say, I mean, if we were to have a match between... Fandango versus The Miz, what would it be called?
Oh, fuck. What would we be doing there? It'd be like, go, Fandango, fuck yourself, you cocksucking motherfuck.
That's what it would be called, yeah.
Yeah,
because you call Miz...
On a pole.
What do you call him? Miz?
Miz is a cocksucking motherfuck.
And you call Fandango...
Fandango, fuck yourself.
So what would you call Fandango versus The Miz?
Fandango, fuck yourself, you cocksucking motherfuck, on a pole.
Now, if it was The Miz versus Fandango, what would it be?
Cocksucking motherfucker. Fandango, fuck yourself on a pole?
Well done.
There you go. I mean, Dixie Carter is their special referee. but I'm trying to think of... He is not long for anything doing that leg drop over and over. He can't keep that up. No,
That's will impact his spine. He won't be able to do that move. I mean, we've seen too many guys who do those type of moves. They don't do it long. They eventually move on to a different type of finisher.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so, I mean, so, we'll see that.
But it was a spectacular-looking... I wasn't expecting that from him.
It looked good, yeah.
Yeah, it looked fine. So, yeah. Just that Mania match is... Oh, fuck.
No.
You know what Fandango, fuck yourself, has never done?
What?
He's never wrestled a bear.
Not like the Dazzler, Daniel
Bryan?
Not
like the Dazzler.
Or Stu Hart.
Or Arn Anderson.
Arn Anderson, yeah.
If you haven't watched Saturday Morning Slam, kids, go do that. Tremendous.
Just for Daniel Bryan on commentary?
Yeah.
True. It was, you know.
I would even recommend the JBL and Cole show on YouTube this week.
After, right?
After. Well, after.
Yeah, you watch
Daniel
it after.
Daniel Bryan wrestles a bear.
Yeah.
Steve Blackman's on it. On the JBL and Cole show, Steve Blackman walks by.
Mm.
John Gruden is on the JBL and Cole show. So it's quite
interesting.
Quite a dichotomy of people, yes. So, but yes, I would recommend that. We talk about Punk being off for April and May, scheduled now for elimination. Extreme Rules.
Extreme Rules, yeah.
Rock and Rock.
Yeah. Which means that when they come by here in Calgary, building up this pay per view in a little while. I guess we'll be fortunate enough to get one or both of them.
I don't think so. I think we may get...
Sergeant Slaughter?
Yeah. But we'll get the show after, because when is Extreme Rules? It's like probably the 20-something of May, right? And we're going to Raw's in Calgary on the 27th of May.
Okay, so probably is
so
the week
we'll
after.
We'll probably get the after show, not even the next day,
but
the
week
the
after.
Week
but
after.
Aren't they both scheduled, though, for the pay-per-view after that as well?
I don't think so.
No? I think so.
I think
they're both in for not just Extreme Rules, but they're sticking around for one more show after that.
Yeah,
but at least Rock
SummerSlam.
No, I'm pretty sure they're sticking around.
No, Rock is flying over to do Hercules.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's why he's taking steroids.
Maybe Rock.
Not to play, you know.
Wrestler?
No, it's not to play Wrestler or Roadblock in G.I. Joe. It's to be Hercules. Yeah, that's
right.
It.
Well, yeah. You also have to sell used cars and use the full Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
Or the backbreaker.
Mm-hmm. What else you got?
He had the same birthday as me. Hercules.
Because, yeah. What was that little centaur with him? What the hell was that called? Pip?
Oh, no, Newt.
Newt!
It's Daedalus, Herc!
Was it Pip then, the one who played
the
flute thing?
Yes. I'm glad to have a friend.
Like Hercules.
It's on the Teletoon Retro. It's only 8 minutes long.
Oh, I'm sure.
They play like seven episodes in a row.
The guy who was invulnerable so long as he wore that iron helmet.
Yeah.
It looked like a bucket.
Yeah. with holes in it.
And it has this purple.
I looked in it, and at the bottom it's like original, on the PBR thing or whatever, it's like original air date was like 1963.
Oh, I believe it.
I believe it.
Undertaker was only experiencing his 30th birthday.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. I'm trying to think of... But the creator of that show, big Bret Hart fan.
I have a little... Well, of course, we have the ribs to get to.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to Bret Hart. I have a little sort of game type thing I want to talk to you about.
I wanted to talk about a new DVD coming
out. There's a DVD. And then, of course, there was a tragedy this week. Let's just...
Yeah, we should talk about the passing of Ric Flair.
Yeah.
25 years old.
My only thing I'm going to say is my condolences to those affected by this unfortunate event. I really have nothing else to say on it, personally. If you have anything else, please go ahead.
Yeah, it's obviously it's tough, and I mean, the beyond the sadness and the condolences and the obvious loss that family and friends are feeling, I've seen some pictures of him and some work in all Japan, and you know it looked like he actually had a pretty good future.
I have quite a bit more to say on this. I just don't feel that this is the time to do so.
Mm.
So you know, when a little time has passed, I want to talk some more about this.
Okay.
But of course more details will come out, so it'll be easier to do so then.
Yeah.
But for now,
I mean, he definitely had his demons and. I mean, he was arrested on heroin possession when that's what scared Ring of Honor from bringing him off. I mean, that sort of, I guess, problems aside, that's where I talk about looking like he had a good future in terms of potential, I guess. that way. But very, very sad. So, you know, definitely condolences go out to the Fleeter family and any of his friends. Well, not all of his friends, not the ones that sold him drugs. But do you have any else you want to say on it?
Nothing else I want to say.
Well.
All right, so let's move on to this DVD.
The DVD. You haven't seen this yet, so
no.
I'll read them out to you here, and you can... 25, the top 25 rivalries DVD.
Mm-hmm.
Great cover with Hogan and Andre staring at each other, standing there. Mm-hmm. We've got WrestleMania 3 picture there. But, of course, the top 25 rivalries. Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan,
mm-hmm.
clearly on there. Be great.
Mm-hmm.
Triple H versus The Rock.
Definitely should be on there. They had it lasted for years, starting an high speed belt and carrying on to the world title.
First Helmsley against Rocky Maivia,
mm-hmm.
you know, on Thursday Raw Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
When Shawn Michaels lost his smile.
That's right. So I mean, that was really good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Edge and Christian against the Hardys against the Dudleys.
Absolutely, great stuff.
Yeah. Tommy Dreamer against Raven.
Hmm. I guess if you have 25, it seems to me you could pull out. Only part of me goes, you have 25, so you got to fill it out a little. Part of me goes, if you have only 25, why would you put that in there? But again, it depends how deep into the past are they going to go? How deep into history are they? I mean, are you going to have something from the 60s that nobody cares about, that nobody knows?
Mm.
I would have something like that over this, but especially since this is certainly not a WWE feud, but I guess that'll be continuing to be the theme here as I see where you're going down.
Yeah, so Randy Orton against Triple H.
Fuck no.
Yeah, I know. Fuck. That's the first one I've seen that I'm like, fuck you, no.
Yeah.
Bruiser Brody against Abdullah the Butcher.
Funny, because when I think of either one of their top opponent of all time, it's not who I think of, but it's good. It's interesting. I like that it's on there. That does show a little...
A little diversity.
Diversity,
What they're doing, yeah. So Kurt Angle against Brock Lesnar.
Definitely I could see that being on there, though I think Brock versus Undertaker maybe is where I go first. But.
I don't know about that one. That just didn't have as much of a longevity in terms of if you're going to do top 25. At least Raven and Dreamer, you can argue, was ECW's top feud ever.
There's
two. But,
there's probably more than two, but it's definitely among them, yeah.
And, I just don't know that Kurt and Brock had the longevity.
They only had, I believe they had three incredible matches, two at pay-per-views, one on SmackDown.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they give us the full 60-minute Iron Man match again, I'll be into that.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see that again, the one that was on SmackDown, so.
Undertaker against Kane.
I could see why it's in there. I wouldn't have it in there.
I could include that on there.
Yeah.
You know.
I guess that Mania match is actually pretty good because the drama was built well and the story
was
built well.
Because the story was built for almost a year.
Yeah.
He's alive.
Plus, exactly. That he kept on the tombstone, which is so protected as a move, was used multiple times and was very.
The Inferno match.
The Inferno match after that, which was a spectacle, if nothing else.
Yeah, and again, coming back and having a couple more WrestleMania matches, you know, it's one of those.
Yeah, and they had a very interesting SummerSlam match, too.
Yeah, where he took the mask and
1999,
they never, yeah,
I believe it was, so the year after Highway
99 Hell. Or 2000, something like that, where he took the mask from him, right?
Yeah.
It was strange. What else we got here? John Cena against Edge.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, that's...
John Cena's best opponent ever, so... Edge's best opponent ever, probably... As a singles.
Yeah. Mick Foley against Triple H. I say yeah if you go back to King of the Ring.
Yeah, I suppose. I suppose they started off one.
You know.
They had a couple different iterations. They had a couple different versions.
Yes, they did. Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Rock.
Yeah, you have to put that in there.
You heard about that one, haven't you?
Yeah. Same with the next one, right?
Yeah,
you have
Brett
to put,
against Shawn.
You have to put that in there.
Punk against Cena.
Nah, I sort of see it.
I see it.
I sort of. Next one for sure.
Mankind against Undertaker, yes.
Yep.
Ric Flair against Ricky Steamboat.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah. Hogan and Piper.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Von Erichs against the Freebirds.
Definitely.
Yes. And again, a non-WWF one. Steve Austin against Mr. McMahon.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, definitely has to do that. Dusty Rhodes against Ric Flair.
It's on the edge, but I can see it being there, sure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, again, if you're trying to pull from a few places,
yeah,
then I can see
I'm that. Still looking at something pre-1980, so...
Yeah. Hogan against Savage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Best angle the company's ever done. So, yeah, definitely. Shawn Michaels against The Undertaker.
Again, I kind of see that as being on the edge, but...
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, you could go back, though, to back-to-back WrestleManias.
Sure.
You can... And in
your house, Ground Zero.
Ground Zero and the first ever Hell in a Cell. Yeah. I mean, and the casket match.
Yeah.
I think you definitely could make an argument for that one. The next one, Taz versus Sabu.
Interesting, yeah.
Talked about the... ECW, those are sort of the two that actually stand out to me, is Raven and Dreamer. And
well, RVD versus Jerry Lynn, and there's a few others.
Yeah, RVD.
The Eliminators versus, what do you call it? Who's the tag one?
Dudleys?
No, not the Dudleys. No, the Eliminators versus, I can't remember the other guy's name, but Public Enemy, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, it's a really great rivalry.
Public Enemy, no, but the Eliminators versus Public Enemy versus, and then there was a third one there, that was great.
Yeah. Tully Blanchard against Magnum T.A.
Sort of, yeah. Yep. On the edge.
Yeah. Vern Gagne versus Nick Bockwinkel.
Oh, finally. Okay.
They're
acknowledging something from the past. Nothing from Bruno. Nothing from...
Well, this may have been... obviously, this was made before Bruno.
But regardless, Bruno, Backlund, you know, even some of the tag team feuds that I want to see from... Like the Hart Foundation
against British Bulldogs.
Or in the 70s, you know, you had the great Briscoes versus
the Funks
and things like that. Like, I'm not too pleased with this. I don't think this is that good a list. And I'm looking at the last one here on the list, and it's
Rey
a great
Mysterio against Eddie Guerrero.
It's a terrific rivalry, and I guess you can look at the Halloween Havoc match, and then
I'm your puppy, Dominic,
which was entertaining, though no match that blew me away. Always, you know what, it's funny because when you talk about these, though, I mean, Chris Jericho versus Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's definitely one that's missing. And Benoit versus Jericho, which obviously you can't have in there.
Yeah.
Bret
and Owen.
Yeah. God, yeah.
You know.
And I guess maybe they just think it's being done to death, but...
Yeah. Well, yeah, but you got Sean and Brett on this list. I mean, you had to. You know, I would also look even for if you're... I mean, the one that stands out to me to immediately kind of go bye-bye
well,
is
I mean,
Randy Orton against Triple H.
Again, I was going to say Angle and Benoit again as another one.
Yeah.
There's a few for Benoit with Benoit and Booker T, you know?
Even Benoit, DDP, and Raven.
Yeah, it was great
you
stuff.
Know,
and I think DDP probably has some, you know, I think DDP and Hogan, for instance.
Hogan and Sting.
Hogan and Sting,
this is very much, and again, this is always happens in WWE land, is, you know, again, talk about political landscapes and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you have to put Hogan and Andre, you had to put Hogan and stuff. I mean, all of this is all old Hogan stuff. You're not going to put any WCW Hogan in there. But, you know, Archie the Stomper against Bad News Allen.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, if you get that, I'm just trying to think of different territories that they own where, you know, they've done the Freebirds, Von Erichs, they've done Vern and Bockwinkel.
Well, wasn't Hacksaw and DiBiase in
Mid-South
was
something
else.
Yeah.
Who was it, the Junkyard used to, Junkyard Dog, in, Kaufman and fucking Lawler.
Yeah, Kaufman and Lawler actually would be,
You know, I think this is a pretty shitty list. Honestly.
I mean, I don't think...
I would say of the 20, I would put about 5 in there.
Would you? No,
yeah.
I would put... I would put Andre and Hogan in the list for sure. Okay. If you're talking tag teams, I would do the Edge and Christian Hardys, Dudleys.
Well, again, it depends, though. I mean, if you're looking at this, at what point in time do you say... I guess it's materials they own, but,
yeah.
I mean, it's all North American. Like, you know, if you're going to look, though, at other territories and different eras, then at what point in time do you decide not to look... at anything overseas or Mexico.
Well,
like,
because it's what you own, and that's what you do. I mean, this is you know, don't kid yourself. This isn't the Wrestling Observer Top 25 rivalries, right?
This is not.
WWE.
For WWE, I'd say there's about 5 I'd put in there, and there's about another 5 that I could argue yes or no, and then there's about 15 I'd say no. And I think I could find better.
Really?
Even if they own, yes.
Would you put Andre and Hogan in? I mean, I would. That's the peak of the 80s right there.
Look, if you're going to ask me if I have to put in Andre and Hogan, Andre and Savage, and Andre and Piper, and I have to throw one out.
Hogan and Savage.
Oh, sorry, Hogan and Savage.
Hogan and Piper, yeah.
Yeah, if it's going to be those three, it's going to be the Andre one. Let me throw out.
And I can't throw any of them out. I can't throw any of them out. I mean, I could throw out, like I said, the Orton one stands out. I could throw out Angle and Lesnar. And I could throw out Ray and Eddie there. And
I could throw out a lot, but
I mean, I couldn't throw out the Von Erichs and Freebirds.
I wouldn't throw that out, no.
Couldn't throw out Austin McMahon, couldn't throw out Austin Rock, couldn't throw out Bret and Shawn. I couldn't throw out Undertaker and Mankind,
I could throw out Undertaker Kane. I could throw that out. I could throw out Flair versus Rhodes, honestly. I could throw out definitely, you know, Tommy Dreamer versus Raven. I'm sorry, I could throw that out, you know.
I just look in terms of, and Tully Blanchard and Magnum TA, I guess, is another one that I could throw out.
Yeah, I could, absolutely.
You know, I'm just trying to think of, but then again, like, you know, when we throw, sort of thrown in what we would kind of replace it with, I guess, and so that we've got there, but
I just don't think of Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker as having this great feud. I just think of them having a bunch of great matches at different times, but I don't think of it as a great feud.
Was it a great rivalry, though?
Well, it's kind of the same thing in a lot of ways.
Kind of, but I don't know.
I just don't see it, personally.
Yeah, I mean, but I could make the case because of the matches that they've had.
I still think the Hell in the First Cell is their best match. All right, let's move on from this subject. Are we going to get Brett on here? Or?
Yeah, might as well get Brett on if he's calling again. Guy doesn't want to give up here, so.
Do we have Stone Cold versus Brett on there?
No. No, that wasn't on there.
Are you shitting me? That's the greatest rivalry I ever saw.
I know, and Brett and Owen, and isn't on there either.
Hey, Brett, how are you doing?
Doing fine.
Doing fine. Well, we were just looking at the greatest rivalries, and your rivalry with Shawn Michaels is on there, the 25 greatest rivalries. You didn't have any other ones, but you had some great rivalries, you know, with Owen, obviously, even someone like The Undertaker, right?
Oh, and you know, and Owen and, you know, Undertaker, they just, you know, they told me, they said that the matches and the rivalries that we had were their favorites in their career.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, it's good to be on the list.
It's good. Well, but only that one time, though.
Could be on the list with, you know, we had some great rivalries with, you know, with the Islanders and with the Killer Bees.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So even guys like Dynamite and Davey Boy.
Yeah, well, you and Kurt Hennig, for instance.
Kurt Hennig.
Kurt
Hennig's always told me that the matches that he had with me, those were his favorite in his career.
Were they? They were. What about, and even just the British Bulldog, you could have put in there individually, right? You get the tag matches, you had Stampede Wrestling.
Right.
I guess, I don't know if you faced each other in Stampede, but you had the tag. Well, you did when you came back and did the work the corral.
Yeah.
Do you remember those, working the corral, coming back to the territory?
I still remember working in Wembley Stadium and you know, Davey just, he was out of it. You know,
was he?
What he did, he was out of it. We had to, you know, basically carry him to the arena that day, and just to get him to the ring, and you know, and I was able to, you know, I think pull off some pretty good magic there.
Oh, really? You mean, how would you rate that match yourself?
Oof. That's not even for me to say, how I moved the matches, but I know that, some of the boys in the back were telling me, that was just, it was 10 out of 10, those matches.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the guys used to come up to you in the back, right, and say that they respected your work, or, is there anybody else, for instance, did Vader, for instance, ever come up to you and say anything about, your matches or your work, for instance, or someone like that?
Vader used to, it really was a who's who,
yeah.
Of people that would come. I mean, personally, I know that, Bruno Sammartino was a big fan of mine.
Oh, was he?
He used to call me and tell me, he had issues with Vince, and he used to call me and say, I just issues with Vince. I hate what wrestling has become, but I can watch your matches.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Who else? I mean, somebody else. I used to watch your time and your matches felt so real. I used to think when you were out there, it felt like a Christian being fed to the lions in some ways. Like you're like fighting for your life, right?
And Julius Caesar, he used to tell me he's a big fan of mine.
Julius, really?
He's a big fan.
The guy from a couple thousand.
He was, he used to tell me that if he was going to watch anybody, that those are the matches he was watching. There are lots of people that said that, Napoleon used to tell me, I said, then I met him through Sky Willow, and used to be a huge fan.
Yeah. And there's some rumors that you're going to induct Trish Stratus into the Hall of Fame. I understand. You ever spend any time with her or talk to her? What did she ever say to you?
Trish used to call. She used to call up and used to say, if I was going to wrestle a women's match, if I was going to turn a match into women's style, then I want to do a Bret Hart version of a women's match. And there's no truth to my Hall of Fame there. I don't know where that stupid rumor got started. But Trish Stratus, she used to tell me that if she could have a match with a man, that it would be, she'd want to be against Bret Hart.
Speaking of having a match with a man, did you ever have a chance or think about working with China?
I have a lot of fans in China. I know that a lot of the emperors used to send me telegrams and just tell me how much they love the match.
Oh, really? What about a match with China? I mean, I know she worked with Chris Jericho. She had some great matches with him, right? So she would probably have a equally good as match with you?
I think China, I'd give a pretty good match, yeah. I think, China Joanie, she used to, we were doing the Hart Foundation and DX, just running around that screw job time that, we'd take some stuff and China would take some, bumps for me when I run into the ropes, and after she used to come, she used to tell me, she says, I don't take those bumps for anybody, but there's a respect. She said, she really, Joanie and I, she really liked me, so she said, I'll take those bumps for it.
Yeah, did you ever have a wrestling match with Sonny?
During the day.
And not at night?
Not at night, no.
It was never a sunny night.
It was a little bare.
It was just a sunny day.
Just a sunny day.
And what about Chris Jericho? I mentioned him. I always thought to myself, what a dream match between you two that would have been. And
Jericho used to come up to me even as a kid when he was training down at the gym, and he'd just say, I don't know if I'm gonna make it in the business, but if I do, then it's going to be because of you.
Oh, really?
So.
Really? And I used to see him using the Boston Crab type Walls of Jericho finish. I always assumed that it's some sort of throwback to your Canadian heritage and his Canadian heritage.
The sharpshooter is basically, that's what he told me. He said, nobody can do the sharpshooter, like Bret Hart. And so that was his, yeah, that was his version. You know, just to pay homage, I guess, to the sharpshooter.
Mm-hmm. And did Dan Bam Bam Bigelow ever tell you he had a match that he really was proud of with you or anything?
Yeah, it's all those guys, you know, back then. Just there wasn't a wrestler back there that didn't want to work with me, you know, and didn't appreciate, you know, what I did with him. I you know, when you got out of the ring with the Hitman, you come out a bigger star.
Oh, okay. Well, anything last things you want to say here?
No, it's you know, it's thanks for having me on the show. You know, people, I get emails and tweets and Facebook saying, you know, whenever on a podcast, you know, it just becomes their favorite podcast to listen to. So I appreciate you having me on and let me talk about all the guys that it's not about me. It's talking about all the guys that you know, that I was in there with.
Okay, thanks, Brad.
Hey, thanks, Brad. Thanks. Wow.
That was very interesting.
That was.
He's so humble.
Well, yeah, him and DDP are probably two of the humblest guys you're ever going to meet.
Okay, let's do our. We're going to get into the April Fool's portion of the show in just 1 second.
Oh.
First off, I had a little mini game I'm going to do with you here.
Oh, yes.
So let's just get on to this. Basically,
let's play the Moe's penis game.
No, I said a little game, not a massive game that your mom is a big fan of.
Oh. It is April Fool's.
<isn't it? laughs> All right, it's sort of a game, sort of not. Basically, what I want to look at is some of the guys on this year in WrestleMania, both of WrestleMania and just kind of in general in their position. Are they in a better place or a worse place than they were at WrestleMania 1 year ago?
So, for instance,
Daniel Bryan, better or worse place?
The Dazzler.
Dazzler, Daniel Bryan.
Well, I mean, I don't know. That's, again, you talk about he had a roller coaster year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the only reason I would say that he's having a worse year is that this time last year he was going in the World Heavyweight Champion.
And booked to lose in 27 seconds or whatever, 37 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, this time he's going up against Ziggler and Big E in a nothing match.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but he's been tag team champion for months.
Yeah, but he was World Heavyweight Champion for months.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's more months that he's been a heavyweight champion.
But he's more established, though, in the eyes
of
the company.
Yeah, but I don't know that he's in a better... I think he's about the same.
About the same, okay. Yeah. Then let's look at Kane. Kane last year in a feud where he goes over at WrestleMania on Randy Orton.
Kane is in a better spot.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well,
Kane was in that... Again, we're just talking four WrestleManias. And Kane was in that throwaway nothing against Randy Orton. It was just
coming off the feud with Cena.
Yeah, the Cena Zack Ryder thing, and then it was just Randy. It was like Randy Orton had nothing to do, Kane had nothing to do. There's 2 weeks left till Mania, put them together.
Okay.
You know,
Randy Orton.
Yeah, Randy Orton again is in a better position.
Is he?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's in the best booked Mania angle, Mania
mm-hmm.
program against the Shield. Probably going to turn heel out of all this. So, yeah, I think he's in a better spot.
Big Show last year got his WrestleMania moment,
yes.
Feeding, you know, Cody for the
Intercontinental
belt.
Yeah.
This year, part of the six-man match against the Shield.
Yeah.
Better or worse place? Is Big Show right now in a better or worse place?
I think he's in a worse spot.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, again, he had one of the matches at WrestleMania last year that was being built.
Mm-hmm.
And just, again, being in a one-on-one for the Intercontinental title, the story of, you know, the Aki Bonos and all that, you know, he's always fucked up every WrestleMania, you know, having the one at the WWF New York or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, eating chicken wings or whatever it was. So, yeah, I think last year was better for Big Show.
Okay. CM Punk, last year, I believe, was in the third highest match in the card, and this year, I believe, is in the third highest match in the card.
Yeah. What did Punk do last year?
He defended the title against Chris Jericho.
Right.
Remember in the shitty build?
Yeah.
And this year he's facing Undertaker. Remember
in the
shitty
build? Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to say he's in a worse spot this year than last year. It's tough because the streak means more than any belt. But, and no, it's like he's not going to beat the streak, so... Who gives a fuck? Yeah, at least...
This still feels to me like a more marquee match than that one.
It does because of the... Yeah, I guess it does. But again, they're talking third from the top versus third from the top. I think he's in about the same.
Okay. The Miz.
That cocksucking motherfucker.
That one.
What did he do last year?
Remember, he was on... He got the winning fall for Team Ted... Or
Team
Johnny.
Johnny, right.
Last guy added to the team, and he got the winning fall.
I guess he's in a worse spot. Again, he's about the same, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he got thrown in at the last minute to Team Johnny.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, literally, like, the last week of the show when they were trying to fill this fucking shit. So... and now, just a throwaway, you know, he went from feuding with the U.S. champion to get an Intercontinental title shot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's about the same.
It's about the same. Okay, all right. I can't really think of anybody else to compare. Like, I mean, some guys like ADR is obviously in a better place this year than last year.
You think the worst place would be, say, Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, Cody Rhodes or Zack Ryder, obviously, who's kind of like the head guy on Team Teddy.
Yeah.
Guys like that are obviously, you know, Triple H is about the same place. Obviously, Cena and Rock in the same place.
Brother, yeah.
So, you know, Wade Barrett's obviously in a better place because last year he got hurt right before Mania when he was supposed to be on Team Teddy.
That's right.
You know.
Sheamus.
Is better place last year.
Yeah, winning the title.
In that opening match real quickly, turning the crowd.
Yeah.
Alberto Del Rio, who did he face last year? What was he doing at Mania last year?
He was on Team Johnny, wasn't he?
Was he? Because the next night he came out, and remember when people weren't chanting yes, 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 they started chanting
C, C,
C. Are you sure he didn't face Rey last year?
No.
I can't remember.
Me either.
No, yeah. So obviously he's in a better place this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, that's about it. I think it was kind of interesting to look to see where some of these guys have either progressed or fallen or stayed
regressed.
The same.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing is most of them have stayed the same.
Well, that's a lot of the product.
Yeah.
You know, it's we're not a lot of we're really that was really been the story of it. I mean, if you talk about the wrestling year going the WWE year going WrestleMania to WrestleMania, it really has been kind of a I don't say a stagnant year, but things have kind of progress slightly, and business-wise has been better, but it really has been just entertainment-wise kind of, just a plateau, just level, so.
All right, then. Well, let's move on to the, New Year's Eve. No, not New Year's Eve. Fuck, I want to do that.
How about
the
April Fool's Day?
How about that? What the fuck? Let's do that instead. April Fool's Day. Ribs. Some of the best or funniest ribs that we know of in history.
Roscoe's.
I can't open all of a sudden my document, so that kind of sucks.
Yeah, that's
but
my New Year's joke to you.
Yeah, apparently.
April Fool's joke.
Yeah, apparently. So,
I'll go first.
You better.
Okay.
As I try and figure this shit out and get this shit to work on my phone here where I have my...
I will start with one of the most well-known ribbers in the history of the business. Shockingly, really, as I fart. I am going
People didn't know that. I mean, I knew that. I wasn't going to say anything.
I was.
Obviously.
Natty's here. She's saying hi to your mother for her. But Speaking of daddy.
We
need to start with her uncle.
Oh, yes.
Let's start with Owen.
Oh, Owen. I thought.
Yeah, I know. We're going to start with Owen. And
we all got a few Owen stories. We're going to talk best ribs ever.
Yes. And this story is great because it has a two-way street to it, but every time they're in WWE goes through, ironic realize it is now that I say it, but every time they go through Kansas,
yes,
they go to Harley.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have all the boys over for a barbecue.
For a barbecue, that's tradition.
It's his tradition, and his traditional barbecue dish that he makes is this big pot of chili.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know, Harley went to do something, flip the burgers, go do something, and so Owen grabbed the whole bottle of hot sauce, the Frank's Red Hot, whole bottle of hot sauce, dumped it into the chili pot. Like, nobody could eat this, the whole bottle of chili. It was like, people were trying, and nobody could even have more than, like, a bite of this chili. Totally ruining, like, Harley's favorite barbecue, and everybody's going home hungry, and after, and, oh, Harley was pissed. Didn't know who did it.
He should have been able to guess.
Well, then he found out, well, he's in a whole room with them,
yeah,
of guys, right? But, come to find out that he comes to the arena, that the next day, find out that they're talking to people that it was Owen. And then he went to confront Owen. And Owen, you know, was denying it, and then finally had to, you couldn't stop laughing, so the jig was up. And so Harley pulls out a stun gun and stuns Owen. Falls to the ground in convulsions.
Perfect.
So that one had a good start and a good end.
Nice.
So, a receipt.
A receipt, good. That's what they call in the business, yeah. All right, you, obviously you're telling them. What, do you have them written down anywhere, or do you just remember that one?
Mm-hmm. I just remember. I have a good memory.
Do you?
Yeah.
What do you remember about... I won't ask.
Hmm? Your mom?
Yeah.
Oh, I tried to black that out.
Yeah. That's why I didn't think you had a good memory.
No, really?
Yeah.
No, just of your mom. Or of who Alberto Del Rio fought at WrestleMania.
Obviously, it doesn't remember. It doesn't matter. That's the whole thing. All right, let's get to one of mine here. I'm just looking
at mine.
Here's one.
Okay.
Okay, so Bobby Heenan.
Yeah, I know him.
You've heard of the Brain.
I have.
One of his favorite things to do was to, he used to take the shoe polish, and the guys used to not have cell phones, obviously, back in the day, so they'd go and use the payphones.
Yes.
He used to take the black shoe polish and put it on the payphones.
Right.
And one time when he went to go do that, this arena, I guess, had like 12 payphones, like a whole row of them. And so he did it to every single one of them.
Right.
Thinking that way he's going to get one or more than one of the boys. And not a single one of the boys made a phone call all night. But he walked out of the arena that night and was arrested because apparently the off-duty security guards, who were police officers, had decided to make phone calls that night. And many of them had black ears, so he had to, in the squad car, explain away the joke.
Nice.
So that's a good one for Bobby Heenan.
That is a good one for Bobby Heenan. Another manager we can talk about is one that I love.
Yeah.
And that's Mr. Fuji. Mr. Fuji used to live in this apartment or this housing complex, and apparently had a really annoying neighbor that he hated.
Oh, no. This is not a rib. This is a torture story.
And they had this neighbor. He hated the neighbor, and they had a really yappy dog.
Yeah.
So he took the dog and made it seem like the dog ran away. And so they, of course, the neighbor comes up. Have you seen, you know, Sparky? Do you know where he is or whatever? And Mr. Fuji, no, son, I don't. That's how he said it. And it's no idea. Well, all the while, Mr. Fuji has killed this dog. And he said, oh, I'm so sorry you lost your dog. Let me make you dinner. And you come to my place and we'll have dinner. Well, Mr. Fuji killed and cooked the guy's dog.
So apparently Mr. Fuji, I could not do that to a dog. Nevertheless, feed it to a person afterwards.
No.
Mr. Fuji, well, I guess maybe it's dogs are seen differently. We're in Japan, but either that or he has no fucking soul. One or the other.
Or both. Anyway, yeah, so he cooked and fed the guy's dog to him.
Yes.
Now, this was the inspiration for the much-loved pepper steak, Big Boss Man Al Snow vignette from Sunday Night Heat and WWE, leading us to the Kennel from Hell match, which was a rib on all of us.
Yes, Russo.
Part of that, though, was that when Boss Man kidnapped Al Snow's dog, Pepper, and Al Snow was looking for him. He had the sign, "If you've seen this dog, please call me at..." And the phone number he put on was actually Val Venus's legitimate number.
That's right. Val got a few phone calls.
Apparently, yes.
A few thousand phone calls.
And yeah, texting wasn't as...
Oh, he would have definitely... Oh, that would have been awesome. Back in the AWA, Pat Patterson one night decided to... play a joke on Jim Bronzell.
Pushing.
So Jim Bronzell had a brand new Halliburton, which, of course, are metal cases, and was very, very proud of it. And so Pat Patterson, knowing that he's going to go through the airport, decided to empty out a tray, an ashtray, of cigarette ashtray, into as many as he could find into his Halliburton. So, of course, he went through the metal detector. They asked him to open up his tray. He opened it up, and all the ash came out. Well, Bronzell decided to get even the next night by putting liquid heat in the trunks and the socks of Patterson, who went out and had to wrestle a match at that on.
Nice.
So there's a rib and a receipt.
That is a receipt. I don't know, and Fuji used to do that stuff too. He used to put locks on people's suitcases.
Yeah.
Go buy a lock and like lock their suitcase. Yeah, there are lots of stuff.
There's lots of ones. You'll remember, of course, this one famous from Mick Foley's book. Actually, I'm sure you can tell it even without reading it or me saying anything more than penis suplex.
Yes, the penis suplex. Explain to the people what the penis suplex is.
The penis suplex, Mick Foley was in a tag match, and Al Snow was in the match with his partner, and Bob Holly was on the other side. And Bob Holly, of course, a bit of a prick. Literally, especially in this situation. And he had Al Snow up for a suplex. So he decided, well, he had Al Snow up for the suplex, that he would just pull his his trunks aside and expose Al Snow's penis. So he held Al Snow and his exposed penis up in the suplex for a full 10 seconds, a 10 count, while the crowd was looking and laughing. And knowing that Al could do absolutely nothing in that position to fight or get out of it. So that's the penis suplex, a famous rib within the WWE.
That was very much, yes. And, I mean, and yeah, there were a lot in Foley's book where he talked about like having like concession stand brawls with Owen Hart where Owen would use like popcorn and cotton candy.
Yeah, and then sell it.
Sell for it and stuff.
Be so, hit with cotton candy and act like he'd been hit by a chair.
Jimmy Corderis told a really good the tag match in Germany that was Edge and Christian against Jeff Jarrett and Owen Hart.
Yeah.
And Owen used a napkin as a foreign object. And they were like double teaming and doing spots and then
He put the napkin.
He put it under his forearm, or put it under his armpit, and Corner's like, "What are you doing?" And Owen lifts his arms up, and his napkin comes, like, just slowly, like, swaying in the breeze down. And he's like, "Well, what am I supposed to do?"
That's awesome. Hey, let's stick with the Stampede connection. The British Bulldogs were going around the house tour, working with Demolition. And one night they had a new referee. And one night the Dynamite Kid went up to Mr. Fuji and said that this referee is wearing a toupee, and he's very, very proud of it and very, very careful of it. We've been trying to knock it off. Why don't you see if you can pull it off during the match at some point, get up on their apron when he comes over to you, pull it off. So Mr. Fuji thought that'd be hilarious, too, to embarrass this guy, right? So he gets up there, and he grabs the guy's hair, and he starts pulling, and it doesn't come off, so he starts pulling harder. He's pulling for all his might. The guy's yelling at him, and he's, "What are you doing?" He's trying to pull your toupee off. He goes, "Asshole, I don't have a toupee." It was his real hair. Dynamite set him up, both of them. So that's a good one for good old Tom Billington.
Well, they used to do that in those sorts of setups, and that was the thing. If you get other people to rib for you, then that was it. And there was one where, was it Fuji? It was Fuji, I think. that Freddie Blassie went to the ring.
Yeah.
And Fuji, like, nailed all his clothes to the ceiling.
Well, like Owen, when he took Vince McMahon's briefcase and hit it on the ceiling fan.
Yes.
And he couldn't find it.
Well, what about at the In Your House? I forget where it was, but the one where they had the hog pen match.
Yes, yes.
And so Davey Boy and Owen wrestled all the pigs that were in the hog pen into Vince's office.
Did they?
Yeah. So, and Vince is doing commentary for the show. So Vince comes to his office after the pay-per-view, and there's like pig shit, and there's these 20 or 30 pigs everywhere. There's a picture of that in the WWE magazine.
Tremendous. Oh, that's awesome.
He's kicking all these pigs out of his office.
Here's another one from Mr. Fuji. There was this new guy, Green wrestler. And he was on his way to the arena, and it was his first match in the territory, and he didn't know the way to the arena. And Fuji answered and told him, "No problem, I'll give you directions."
Yeah.
So he gave him directions. And the guy calls back about a half hour later. He still can't find it. Fuji says, "Oh, no problem, I'll give you the directions." And Fuji just comes up managing to answer. Always answered it. The guy missed his spot. It was 5 hours late because Fuji kept on giving him wrong directions.
Yeah.
Finally, the guy shows up and he's feeling guilty and whatever. Fuji says, "Don't worry about it. I drive you home." He drove him back to the arena, or from the hotel they came from. Took him about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
The guy's sitting there going, "I thought we were so far away." He goes, "Nah, right around the corner."
Fuji.
Fuji. I love Mr. Fuji. Well, except for when he's killing dogs.
Yeah. Well, there was another one. Another great ripper was Mr. Perfect. And,
Yes, he was.
And Mr. Perfect...
Is this the one that backfired, sort of?
Sort of, yeah. Mr. Perfect at one point was, what was he doing? He was cutting up the clothes of, the Fabulous Rougeau brothers. I don't even know if they were fabulous at that point. I think they may have been. Cut up the clothes of the Rougeau brothers, and somehow, and no one ever said who it was, but the Rougeaus jumped to the conclusion that it was the Bulldogs. And so this whole thing started with then the Rougeaus trying to get back at the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
By doing something to their clothes.
Yes.
And, yes, things escalated from there to which Dynamite beat the shit out of Jacques Rougeau in the locker room.
Yeah.
And then Jacques stewed about it for, God, weeks.
Yeah.
And finally took a roll of quarters in his hand and walked as the Dynamite walked past him, just socked him and then Raymond
really came in and did the damage
because
Raymond was a legit amateur boxer and the really tough one of the
world.
There's where one of and in many ways that's the moment that kind of sort of even further like sent Dynamite into a further depression. That rib kind of is, you know, one of the reasons why Dynamite went from being a bully like he saw himself to kind of feeling like a less of a man.
Yeah, yeah, that's really, you talk about if you can dish it but can't take it kind of thing,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I mean, it really did, and it solidified Rougeau, you know, in that company, both of them actually, for years.
Yeah.
Because Raymond was, an announcer and... And then, when you talk about the Mountie and the Quebecers and all of that, I mean, Jacques was a referee.
And then WCW, they had a good career there, too, after he...
I don't know if he had a good career.
Well, he did. I mean, the tag team champions and whatever. I'm talking more when they were the... not the Quebec. What were they called in
WCW? The Amazing French Canadians.
Yeah, I thought that was hilarious.
They weren't the tag champs, though.
They were tag champs at one time, weren't they?
No, they weren't around for very long, and then they came back as the Quebecers.
Oh, that's right,
For a short stint.
Well, he beat, he got a clean pin over Hulk Hogan in Montreal.
That's true.
Jacques did, so not
he
many
did,
people
yeah.
did that in a non-title match. But, anyways, let's move on here. Another one from Owen. Owen was rooming with Lex Luger. And Owen had, Lex Luger went to take a shower and cleaned up and taken all his clothes out. And I guess Luger would be known for taking his clothes out very meticulously, take them out and having them well pressed and everything like that, and putting them on the chair and being very, very careful.
Okay.
And Owen knew this. And so the morning they got up to leave, and very early they had showered. And the night before, Owen had asked some rats for some female underwear.
Mm.
And he took a bunch of female underwear, and he took all these underwear that they gave him. They gave him a whole bunch. They live in the neighborhood. And he cut them, like, holes out of their crotches.
Yes.
And then he took pictures of his own crotch, several different pictures of his own crotch, stuffed them in Luger's briefcase. So when Luger went through the airport security, they opened it up, and they start pulling out all these crotchless underwears from these women, and all these shots of guys' penis, Owen's penis, from different guys, from different angles. So with the underwear on.
Nice.
So Luger's having this happen. All the boys are in the back just laughing their ass off at him. Luger wasn't too pleased. He didn't have much of a sense of humor about himself. But all the rest of the boys thought that was just hilarious.
Well, no, that just talks about Luger and being the victim of one. That was again. This was Davy Boy, that.
Oh yes, the water gun.
He
one,
had
right?
a water gun, and he was shooting the security cops with it, and they're getting really pissed, and
yeah.
they're like, "Who?" They went up to Davy, like, "You know, who keeps doing that?" And Davy Boy goes, "Yeah, it's Lex Luger," and. The guy's like, well, I'm going to go get him. He's like, no, don't do anything now. He's like, just, we're about to leave. You can follow us.
Yeah.
And you follow us and we'll get, because I guess Luger was also notorious for, like, running red lights and not stopping.
Yeah. He was a very aggressive driver.
Yeah. So anyway, the cops are following him, and he's driving really well this time.
Yeah.
The cops are following him, so Davy Boy, like, grabs the steering wheel from him, and he's like, well, what the fuck are you doing? And, you know, and then all of a sudden the cops are getting closer and in an unmarked car. And he sees them there, and he goes, well, what are these guys doing? They're following us. And Davy Boy goes, that's Shawn Michaels. He told me he wanted to race. And Luger goes, really? And so then Luger starts racing. And of course the cops put on the light, you know, slap the light to the hood and start pulling him over and, you know, you're gonna have to get out of the car, license registration or whatever, or license registration, and then the cop takes it all and walks away, and then, Bulldog yells out, like, screw you, cop!
Yeah.
And then they're like, what, sir? Get out of the car right now. I thought it was Luger. He's like, it wasn't me. And then they put him out of the car.
Yeah, I hear that they came in there, and Davy Boy said, no, it wasn't me. And I guess Owen was in the...
Yeah, Owen.
Owen was in the back.
Like, good day, sir. It was Luger.
Yeah, it's because Vince McMahon drove by and saw that.
Well, because they didn't get patted down. And they're like, he's got a gun! Because Davy Boy also put the water gun in Luger's pants. Which I'm sure were those massive red, white, and blue Americans.
Probably. Oh, I'm sure.
But yeah, they were right near the arena, and like, the limos and Vince, and people were like driving by looking watching this. Oh, yeah.
Alright, here's one. Jim Cornette was riding with... Blackjack Mulligan and Ric Flair.
Oh, Jesus.
And I guess they were going through, I think it was Oklahoma, Texas, somewhere in the southern United States. Really, really hot day. Crazy hot. And, of course, young Jim is driving.
Without his shirt?
Yeah, Ric Flair was not wearing anything but boxing shorts. And drinking beer. And drunk. And, and same with Blackjack. Wearing nothing but boxing shorts and his hat.
Yeah.
And his boots, his cowboy boots,
nice.
Drinking beer. And the two of them just drinking, it's really hot, they're driving through, and I guess they had to get up and piss. So they got up to piss, and the two of them are sitting there. Yes, they got up on the side of the road, they both take a piss. Fucking Cornette goes, oh, perfect, takes off. So Flair, they start walking in the heat to get back up to him, because he's, you know, about, I don't know, half a mile up the road, something like that.
Yeah.
And so they start, but Ric Flair's complaining because the tar is so hot. He doesn't have anything on but his boxing shorts, drunk. He can't walk on it. It's too hot.
Yeah.
So he asks Blackjack. So he gets up on Blackjack. Blackjack now in his cowboy hat and his boots and his boxing shorts is carrying Ric Flair in his boxing shorts on his back, piggyback style, up to where Jim Cornette is. And when he gets there, Jim Cornette's just busting out laughing. I guess he had a CB radio in the car, and they, what's so fucking funny? And he goes, what's so fucking funny? Well, you two to start with, but even better, some trucker just came by, and I heard him say to one other guy, hey, did you see the cowboy in the boots and the hat? And he goes, yeah. And the other guy says, and he's carrying the ugliest woman I ever seen. awesome. Awesome story.
that is a great one.
I got a couple more here, if you want them here. All right, so anyway, here's one. Dusty Rhodes.
I know him.
B. Brian Blair.
Oh, Jesus.
Andre the Giant. They're driving a car together, and I guess there's three coolers. One for just Andre.
Yeah.
One for Blair and B. Brian Blair and Dusty.
Okay.
And Dusty was driving. But they were drinking. They were all drunk. And then one more. It was the cooler for the bottles to empty that they would piss in because they didn't have time to even stop to make the show because they were running behind to make their next shot. And they were drunk and they're driving. And all of a sudden, of course, Dusty comes over and they're putting the piss bottles in behind Dusty. And he slams the brake hard for some reason. All the piss comes up and spills all over Dusty in his car. And there's Dusty, who was the booker in the territory, You got piss all over the dream! You got piss all over the dream! And so that's great. So a little while later, they're piss drunk. It's middle of the day. They're driving. But this time they don't have a cooler. And Rhodes again, so, he's a cooler, whatever. And they have to take a piss this time. This time, I guess, they had to get out of the car. And I guess it was dark where they got out. And all of them get out, and they stumble around, and they're holding up their hands in front of their faces, looking for a tree. And Blair gets behind a tree, and finally feels it, and hand in front of his face starts to get pissed. And there's Dusty going, "You're pissing on the dream again! That's it, Blair! I'm jobbing you out!"
Nice.
That's
the story of how the killer bees came to be.
It really is.
They named the killer bees.
The killer bees. Let me see. I got a couple more here. You got any more?
One more that I found was Foley and Steve Austin.
Oh, yes, yes.
And they used to...
with DDP?
Room with DDP, yes. And so DDP, shockingly, used to take himself pretty seriously. And so he apparently... he also had, a knee issue or whatever, but he used to, wrap his leg all up in, cellophane or whatever to keep the swelling down when he got in the shower or whatever.
Yeah.
And so while DDP was in the shower, Foley took a bunch of chocolate chips, sour chip cookies, threw them all in his bed.
Yeah.
So... DDP, jumps into bed and starts rolling around, and you can hear it, cracking on, the cellophane and stuff on around his knee, and, DDP was covered in chocolate chips.
Yeah.
Chocolate chip cookies.
And using profanity, I believe.
Apparently using profanity, and got up and, smashed them all in Foley's face, and finally he said afterwards, he's like, "Guys, I think I'll get my own room tomorrow."
So Abdullah the Butcher, of course, is a bit of a...
He has a house of ribs.
He has a house of ribs, but this isn't one of those. But I guess he was wrestling. Of course, he's a hardcore legend before there were hardcore legends.
Yes.
Famous for cutting himself and whatever. And his forehead is...
It's a youngster.
Yeah, it's scarred like you wouldn't believe,
Yeah.
So one time, I guess he was performing, and he was performing in an arena that had attached to it a kid's restaurant.
Okay.
So there's Abby doing his thing, and he thought it would be funny to engage the kids in the restaurant, in the children's restaurant next door where there was a birthday party being played.
Yeah.
So he would come up to the door and be slammed up against it, just making all sorts of noise. All these kids, of course, wanted to see what would be happening with what was going on in the wrestling in the next room, what's causing all this. So all the kids came running up to the door, and as soon as he sensed all the kids were there, he pulled the door in the middle of the match and came through. Of course, he had just jammed one of the forks in his forehead, and a lot coming down. And the kids screen and then cleared out. They thought it was like a scene out of Friday the 13th.
Nice.
So, of course, never have a birthday party and invite Abdul to the picture.
What?
The moral of this story.
I'm wondering if he's taking bookings. My birthday's like a month away.
That's true. That's true. This last one I'm just going to read out is another ON one.
Okay.
And this story comes from our friend Jim Ross. We've never had him on the show, but we should. It'll be almost as good as the Bret Hart one. I'm just going to read this out to you. So a story from Jim Ross. As the head of WWE talent, once upon a time I had to have a sit-down with a wrestler before a live TV show I was going to broadcast about the individual's alleged drug use. I recall the rumor was this person was allegedly using cocaine. Nonetheless, word of the meeting spread immediately among the wrestlers. Imagine that. Mm-hmm. You know, telephone, telegraph, tele-wrestler, and of course word got back to Owen. So later in the day, he purposely and literally ran into me in the hallway in the locker room area. I was walking my head down and looking at some notes for the night's broadcast. When our bodies collided, I looked up and saw Owen, and he had taken powdered sugar off a donut and put an ample amount of it under his nose, and his eyes were barely open as if he was severely impaired. At that exact moment, I did not think it was too funny, but within seconds, after he burst out laughing, I easily found the humor in the stunt, and it actually allowed me to release some of the stress that I was feeling from the previous sit-down.
Nice.
There's Owen. I think that's the perfect way to go out on this particular subject. So,
okay.
So we can only assume it was Kurt Hennig or Rick Rude or an ECW guy or a WWE guy.
Sean.
Yeah.
There was quite a few.
Quite a few. Or the locker room. X-Pac. Yeah. Anyways.
Radford.
Could be.
But it depends on, because Owen had quite a stint there, right? So it would have been when Ross was head of talent. When did that happen? Like, 96? 97,
98?
So.
Yeah, somewhere in that range.
So it really only covers like a 3-year span, and X-Pac wasn't really a road dog.
Could be.
Billy Gunn, yeah.
Could be.
Just keep speculating.
Any of these guys that are now in an upper management position
in
the company.
Yeah, exactly. All these traitors.
All right, let's do the plugs and get the hell out of here.
Okay. Your mom.
Every fucking time. You know what else is funny every single time? Foreskin.
Well, yeah. That is funny. We're at We Talk Wrestling on Twitter. We Talk, Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. You can like our page and get all the updates there. We're on iTunes. You can subscribe and give us some feedback via the iTunes to the show, which we appreciate it. There's also Stitcher. You've got a Stitcher app for your phone, and you can get We Talk Wrestling on Stitcher. WeTalkWrestling.com is where all of our shows and blogs are going to be there. Addie, at WeTalkWrestling.com. If you'd like to shoot us a question. We do have some questions that we thought would...
Mentioned last week we're going to get into them because we're building them up, but unfortunately we had the ribs, we had the, you know...
Now
last
Mania.
Week was our first show in a little while, so true show. So
WrestleMania.
We'll get to these. We'll figure them out. But
post-Mania blowout, maybe we'll have like a mailbag show or something.
Yeah, something like that. Something crazy. So send us a tweet or send us an email if you have any more on that. A lot of actually these are tweets sent to us or direct messages. But I guess we're OUT. Anything else?
No, that's going to do it. So for us, it's going to be in the meantime and in between time. That's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks. Ta-tas.
Boobs?
A lot of them.